May the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the risen one, be with all of you. Like me, on many days, you may not feel much like being the light of the world. E.B. White wrote, "It's hard to know when to respond to the seductiveness of the world and when to respond to its challenges. I rise in the morning, torn between twin desires, to change the world and to enjoy the world. The tension makes it very hard to plan the day." You feel that way? What direction might you take? We're so busy and overwhelmed. Troubles are everywhere, in our minds and in our hearts, under the roofs where we live, next door, to the left and to the right, up and down both sides of the street, and within every single headline. As we are led through the Philistine country, it is scrolled in the perimeter of our attention span. This banner: breaking news. You don't even have to read it. You know it's going to be bad. It's not truly going to be good news. Somewhere, there's another active shooter situation unfolding. Somewhere, there's a terrible and tragic accident or weather event wreaking havoc. And yet, still another scandal lodged at the highest levels of our government. Breaking news. Rohingya refugees whose burned villages have placed them by the millions into a Burmese-styled gulag camp. Remember the Holocaust? Never forget. Never again. But here we are. Again. The people in Syria, including many children, torn apart in every direction, including their own flesh and blood, because of the direction of a war machine that our tax dollars have helped fuel. We're being led through the Philistine country. You know, we've made a mockery of singing Kumbaya. Anybody sing that song when you were little by the campfire with the children? Come by here, Lord, come by here. Maybe it just needs to be updated. Someone's crying, Lord, come by there. Someone's crying, Lord, come by there. Somebody's crying, Lord, come by there. Oh, Lord, come by there. Do you know why I think it's called breaking news? Because it's breaking us all apart. And we grow more and more callous, too afraid to really feel, to truly empathize, to enter into the suffering, to believe that our faith has the power to get us changed and our world through us. And then there's every post and tweet as it spreads like a runaway wildfire, spewed by busy fingers and the winds of fear and selfishness and suspicion and prejudice and hatred. Let your light shine. Well, I would prefer to turn off the switch and turn off the lights and pull the blanket up over my head. You are participating today in a vital, essential bit of work, essential to your spiritual lives and to the hope of the world, that through our gatherings, through worship and prayer and study and service and building healthy relationships into the community and in our community, we are constantly returning to the source of love, to actively recalibrate your soul to the deepest parts of your very being with this center of love, to bring yourself to the oasis of forgiveness and compassion and generosity, to invite the Good Shepherd, the Lord of love and light, to come into your life and to inspire you, to center you, to fill you, to transform you with this incredible love that has been birthed into the world, that you are the flesh and the blood of Jesus Christ still working in the world, that you are able, by this work of singing your praise, of shaking hands with your neighbor, of gathering in conversation, of hearing what's possible and what you can join together to do, that through this act of worship and community and life into the world, you are finding this place of love, a love that we so desperately need, a love we thirst for and crave, and a love that's right here abundantly available if we will only take it, receive it, live it, own it, make it our own. I can feel myself going crazy in a crazy world, and I have to remind myself, sometimes in the quiet, sometimes in the car, sometimes when I have a few moments to breathe, to return myself, to source myself, to center myself back to the power of love, the presence of Christ, the one who cares for me like a shepherd, and who asked me to also be his shepherd for others that might need just a little bit of kindness, a little bit of a helping hand. Night before last, on Friday, the white Baptist worshiped with the black Baptist at St. Stephen's Baptist Church's Radcliffe campus in Warren County near Fort Knox. We've had St. Stephen's as a part of the Cooperative Baptist Fellowship, but this year we went to their place. Their minister, Kevin Cosby, and their choir sang for us, and many of their folks were gathered in attendance in this traditional white Baptist experience. It was interesting to watch the white people, mostly seated in the back. I know how you all behave. Back pews, the 50-yard line of the Baptist church. Get here early, get to the back row. White people seating there stoically, observing the more expressive forms of black worship. I thought, for white people, worship is like taking a bath. And for black people or black worship, it's more like taking a shower. We sit back, reposed, calm, keeping everything in front of us, and wondering, why are they raising their hands? Well, maybe it helps to get a little bit cleaner when we scrub in some of the hidden places. Both forms are legitimate. And I pray and hope that God will work with us as we seek more of these collaborative ventures, as we seek to discover the way to a deeper harmony as white folks and black folks, recognizing that this is just a convention of the way we were raised. It has nothing to do with the authenticity of our faith, and we have so much to learn from each other, so much to enrich our lives if we can understand that these arbitrary descriptions are not God's categories. We are not black, we are not white, we are people of God. And we understand our lives a little bit differently because of cultural expectations, but we are together as people of God. Breaking news, good news, blacks and whites can worship together. All of us, God's people, to be filled with God's love, to be filled with the presence of the Good Shepherd. Before we can pretend to be sheep in His fold, we are a part of the love that transforms the heart, shining brightly through the crevices and the frailties of our own broken heart. To allow this news that we are lamented by to create space for us to join into the difficulties, the struggles, the heavy lifts, the pains, the heartache in our world, that we follow a Savior who died on a cross and teaches us that it is possible for us to endure a little bit of discomfort if we want God's love to shine through. To give the world a holy and wonderfully new light. To respond to the world with a transcendent spirit that comes not from us, but from the God above. That this is possible, played out over and over and over and over again in your lives, week after week after week, as you come to the source, as you receive the love, as it is allowed to change your life, and you realize that you do not march to the tunes of the culture as you hum the hymns of our faith. At this meeting in Radcliffe, we heard from many folks doing many good things here in the state of Kentucky. One of those individuals is named Arnett Ellard. Arnett is a field personnel service person with the Cooperative Baptist Fellowship. Along with her partner Steve, they work with the Karen community in Louisville, Kentucky. This group of thousands that have come to our state as refugees and just need a little helping hand every once in a while. And these two individuals, Arnett and Steve, do what we used to call home missionary work. And they have embedded themselves with this people group, and they help them along life's challenges as they face this culture as first-generation Americans. Well, she told us just recently, I think it happened this week, she was with one lady who had an emergency, a medical need. She was nauseous and couldn't shake this nauseousness and knew they needed to get to an emergency treatment center. And so she companions this woman to this place of help and healing. They see the doctor and then are back in the waiting room, perhaps waiting for a prescription. And Arnett notices that there behind the partition, the physician that had helped her is now yelling at one of his assistants. She can make out what he's saying, overhearing bits and pieces. He screams, "Why can't these people that come to our country learn English?" She was embarrassed. She knew that the person she had brought was so nauseous that she couldn't make out what the doctor said, though she had enough English that if she was able to listen, she would hear his vehement condemnation. Arnett sat there with her friend. You can imagine what's going through her heart and stomach. She thought, well, you know, my friend's been a little bit busy to learn English. She was busy 18 years in this Burmese concentration camp where she was used as slave labor. Not a lot of time to get a second language skill. She was a little busy when she had to lay her body on top of her child in a field while the soldiers' bullets were flying overhead. Not a lot of time to have an orientation course on how to be a good American. She was a little bit busy protecting her children and her family, fleeing for her very life. Granting by perseverance and dedication and the grace of God permission to enter this country before we started building legal walls to keep everybody out, the poor, the tired, the huddled masses yearning to be free. Can't always get everything together when you're trying to make a new road into a new way of safety and security for your family. I don't know if Arnett gave this doctor a piece of her mind. I don't know if she tried to prick his conscience. I don't know if it would have made a world of difference to him. But I do know this. Every single day, and in every single moment, we have a choice. We can crawl in a hole and not want to come out. We can get lost in our own pleasures. We can shout out our frustrations. Or we can shine with love. What choice are you making today?